您现在听到的是精简版的 Roundtable 节目，想收听并下载一小时完整节目，可以打开网站 CRIEZFM.com， 点击 Roundtable。Podcast 用户可以搜索圆桌会议。What comes to your mind when the word formula is mentioned? Advanced mathematics, quantum mechanics, or relativity? Actually, what we're going to talk about is food. And according to British researchers, quantitative recipes can help you make the most palatable food. 提到公式，脑海里会浮现哪些高大上的理论呢？根据英国科学家的研究，即便是在烹饪领域，数学公式也可以指导你做出最美味的食物。So these researchers have come to the trouble to work outthe best or the secret formula behind all these food items or all these different recipes. Do you believe in that? Do you believe in the perfect recipe?
I think that when you have these very standardized, very meticulously drawn up recipes, I think it can produce a standardized flavor. But whether that is like perfect to your palate is a completely different thing. So I think standardization is really what they're trying to do and not really trying to find the optimal flavor, really.
Well, I think perfect is a tricky word. We never use it. Perfect does not exist, pretty much. But, you know, you don't need to go for perfect. What science does is science improves people's lives. I mean, the fact that you, our dear listeners, can hear us is due to science. You know, the radio didn't invent itself. It was invented by scientists. And that's what we're trying to do here. They are trying to figure out ways to make people's lives better. And no, it's not going to be perfect because nothing is. But, you know, if you follow it perfectly, yeah, exactly step by step, you may get an extremely good tasting thing. But even if you don't follow it perfectly, just the idea of doing this in a more rigorous sort of way instead of like, oh, I'll just, you know, grab a certain amount of salt and just kind of throw that out there, that probably is not the optimal taste. And this way it makes cooking easier in a lot of ways, and it can actually be healthier. It's about improving people's livelihoods.
Okay, so to give you an example, strawberries with cream, which is a great signature piece that you have to consume during spring and summertime in England. Mm-hmm. And you go to the garden, have strawberry and cream, and have a glass of Pimm's with, you know, leaves of mint in it. It is just so perfect. According to this recipe, the perfect strawberry to cream ratio is 7 to 3, and I totally disagree with it because I don't really like whipped cream that much. Mm. I would prefer 8 to 2, so that's also a 4 to 1. So, I mean, just to give you an example, these are things that, great, there's a standard. It's a reference, but when it comes to your own dish, put your own thought into it.
I agree with that, but also I think there are still some ironclad rules in some of these recipes. Maybe it's not an argument between 7 to 3 or 8 to 2, but there are things that you have to do. For example, you have to have the cream there, right? Otherwise, it's not called the strawberry cream, basically. Also, you have to add salt into your hot chocolate. Otherwise, if it's
what?
Yes, you don't know that, Brian?
No, I've had hot chocolate. I mean, I'm not a huge person, but I've never done that. That seems offensive. I mean, this is supposed to be a sweet sort of thing, like sweet and creamy and salt. What is that doing there?
But the package already comes with salt
in
it.
Oh, see, that's if you make it from the package. That stuff is nonsense. You should make it yourself there. And
your own hot chocolate? You know how to make it from scratch?
I don't.
See, busted.
Okay. I may not have done that. I have not engaged in hot chocolate makery in some time. But, you know, packaging, no. Packaging is not the way to do it. I mean, maybe they have the formula, but that's not good. You should use the formula that is correct, and, you know, that is what it is. And by the way, Ho Young, how do we know that you're not the weird one here? You're like, oh, you want your 8 to 2, 4 to 1 ratio of your strawberries and cream? Maybe you're just a weird outlier on this. I mean,
okay, I think the whole purpose of that little monologue you did is to call me weird. And what Xiaohua said earlier sounds like part two of yesterday's discussion.
Really?
When we talked about Kung Pao chicken has been changed into different ways to cook in all kinds of countries outside of China, I suppose. Mm. And Xiaohua sounded like a true conservative there, saying that, you know, you think that there should be a standardized rule, where I think that, you know, certain variations are necessary to suit the local palate.
Certain, but not to make Kung Pao chicken into some kind of sweet sour chicken or some sort of, you know, fried chicken
meat conservative
dipped in weird sauce.
Well, see, that's the thing. There's authentic cuisine, and then there's the Americanized or Anglicized or whatever version of it, and maybe the local people like it there, but I'm sure if most Chinese people go abroad, abroad and they try, you know, whatever it is, like orange chicken or broccoli beef in the U.S., they have no idea what they're tasting. Like, what is this American food here? And it's, so I think keeping the way things has been, I think there's value to that.